Right now, we're going to listen to lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, who joins us on the phone to talk about this difficult situation. Minneapolis Police Department man dies in Minneapolis after video shows officer kneeling on neck. The FBI has joined the investigation into the in-custody death of the man on Minneapolis South Side on Monday evening, who was seen in a bystander video repeatedly telling police he couldn't breathe as they held him down. Let me start here, Jeff. I just want to kind of get this question out of the way. And I had it for David, but I realized this is probably more in your wheelhouse. There's so many different, you know, angles and thoughts on this and so much speculation. The one thing that stuck out to me, and I'm curious what kind of impact this will potentially have, if any, when this goes to trial, I assume that's what will end up happening with this, is the officer involved in this apprehension, right, who had his knee on the individual's neck, like, he knew he was being filmed and didn't seem to react at all to that. And that had me, you know, I mean, obviously, there's so much speculation here, and it's really tough to work through situations like this, but your headspace kind of goes,
what are you doing?
Yeah, like, you know you're being filmed. The guy is saying this.
It.
You know, they're so I'm like either one, he's confident that what he's doing is the right thing, or he doesn't care. I don't know. I was that seems really odd. I suppose the whole thing is horrible and awful.
I'll just jump in real quick before Jeff. And when I saw that, I mean, I didn't see a man who looked like he was trying to kill anybody, obviously. At least that's what I saw.
Sure.
But he also didn't seem to care about the fact that he was being filmed.
Right.
About the pleas of the person that he was holding down. Either he didn't believe him that he couldn't breathe, or he just simply didn't care. Either way, that was a bad decision. That was a bad choice.
And I guess it all drives to intent, and this is all going to most likely come down to intent, and we'll hand it over to you, lawyer extraordinaire.
Make sense of all that.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, this is a question, Drew, you and I were texting yesterday, and you were asking me about what do you think they might be charged with, and so I went to the criminal statutes. You know, that we have several different degrees of murder, several different degrees of manslaughter, where this would fall. And I think that, and these are similar to some of the cases that where the police have been tried before in both Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I think these are kind of similar counts. I think third degree murder is on the table, because that one talks about not having intent. It's whoever without intent to affect the death of a person causes the death of another by perpetuating an act eminently dangerous to others and evincing a depraved mind without regard for human life.
Yeah.
I don't know what else you can describe kneeling on another human being's neck for that period of time while the guy is pleading with you to let up because he can't breathe, and being handcuffed the whole time, and all a bunch of bystanders also pleading with you to let up because the guy can't breathe.
Right.
So I think you have a very good chance of getting third degree murder.
And I'd like to throw in there, at least from what we're able to see, and I've watched the video that was taken from a nearby restaurant that showed the, you know, everything that led up to the man being on the ground. And I've watched the video where, you know, he does end up passing out and eventually dying. I never saw any moment in either of those videos where I felt like that man was a threat.
Yeah.
Where I felt like that man was a threat that needed to be neutralized, you know, by holding him on the ground in that way.
Nor was the crime that they were called to investigate a suspected forgery, a type of a violent crime where you'd expect him to be violent towards the police or you know, anything like that.
I'm suspected of passing a fake $20 bill. Come on.
Yeah, a fake $20 bill and now you're dead. You know, welcome to Minneapolis. The other count, you know, prosecutors plead alternative counts. You know, murder is a higher case to prove than manslaughter. I think they go with third degree murder, but I also think they do second degree manslaughter. That one is person causes the death of another, person's culpable negligence, whereby the person creates an unreasonable risk and consciously takes chances of causing death or great bodily harm to another. I mean, they've got them nailed on manslaughter. And I would say for the three officers that stood there and watched it and didn't intervene, they're all going to be charged as accessories as well.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised that they were all immediately fired? I mean, a lot of times they're put on leaves of absence, unpaid leave of absence while investigation goes on. And I thought it was rather interesting in the article that in the early morning news conference, Police Chief Arredondo said that he has asked for a federal probe after watching the video and receiving additional information, doing that thing with my fingers, about the incident involving several officers. I'm wondering if that additional information may have perhaps played into them being fired. But are you surprised that they were fired as opposed to being put on leave pending an investigation?
No, and I think it was a smart move by the chief. I mean, we're sitting here with everything else going on. This was like matches to gasoline.
Yeah.
And I think that I think that this is going to have to, that the next phase, the, you know, if this is going to proceed in state court, I think the Hennepin County Attorney's Office needs to arrest and charge soon, or we're you know, because we're going to, or this is just going to boil over again. I mean, what we saw last night was frustration, and I think some people probably thought maybe that, that them being fired was it. They're, what they're asking for is they want these officers to face criminal charges. I do think the wild card here, I thought the interesting part about it was the FBI coming in to investigate.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the federal system, there are federal crimes and there are civil rights crimes. And, you know, we saw this, 30 years ago with the Rodney King, incident out in Los Angeles, where the state court acquitted the officers, but they were convicted on the federal charges, the civil rights violations, you know, denial of due process and such like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if, and we'll have to see if they decide it's going to be tried in federal court or in state court, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's federal charges here too for civil rights violations.
How difficult will it be moving forward for the prosecution if, and again, this is hypothetical, according to the story here, according to the hospital, or actually according to police, Floyd died after arriving at the hospital. Is there precedent for circumstances where you have what appears to be an individual who died in the video, but perhaps he was knocked out and he died later on? There's going to have to be, like, the coroner's going to have to do their job of determining what the cause of death was. I'm just curious what kind of ramifications it could have on this moving forward if he did indeed died afterwards, and an attempt to continue to prosecute this officer under, you know, extreme charges.
I don't think it matters. I mean, it's no different than somebody, you know, you get shot and you die later at the hospital. You still, the guy who shot you is still going to be charged with the crime. It's causation.
Gotcha.
Let's go to the phones. Steve in Belle Plaine, you're on with Justice and Drew and lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien.
Hey, good morning. I see a couple of issues here. First of all, they either showed up in one car or they showed up in four cars. The officers did. And so the guy with the knee on the neck, I doubt he looked around and said, hey, Bill, Jim, and Paul are here. I'm going to go ahead and put my knee on this guy's neck for 20 minutes. This is what they do. The guy was in cuffs. His job is done there as the officer. You throw him in the car. But what the putting the knee on the neck, that's an infliction of pain. That's all that is. And you know, maybe he resisted, and so now he's going to get some pain. But that's the only reason to do that, is to inflict pain.
As far as whether or not
he died at the hospital, he was pronounced at the hospital.
Gotcha.
As far as it was also a direct violation of MPD policy, and I want to thank a friend of the show, Rob Dorr, for texting this over. The MPD policy prohibits force being used to that would restrict breathing or blood flow in the neck. Force used shall not include any strikes or any type of force which restricts breathing or blood flow in the neck. So it would seem that just that action alone of using the knee to hold the man down and, you know, and putting the knee where he did, that in and of itself is a direct violation of MPD policy. And I don't want to get, you know, too political on this. It's still very fresh and everything, and obviously it's a traumatic incident, but at the same time, I can't help but get a little frustrated because, you know, we've seen incidents like this happen within the Twin Cities now a number of times, and I'm, you know, harking back to the Justine Damon and all the promises that were made by Mayor Fry when he came in after the Justine Damon shooting and talked about how the training was going to be better and these things were not going to happen again. And here we are, you know, a couple years later, and it happened again. And the same people are out there saying the same things over and over. But when it comes time to actually put different leadership in there, people who might do something differently, you know, I have no confidence that they're not just going to keep reelecting the same people over and over and over and expect some kind of different results.
That's, you know, I agree, Drew. You know, I've lived all my life in Minnesota, and this isn't the first time. These last incidents here with the Justine Damon and other one and the Clark issue a couple
Philando
years ago.
Castillo.
Yep, exactly, Jamar Clark. This always seems to happen in that city, and you know, other communities in this state have diverse populations and, you know, and different demographics and different, you know, socioeconomics, levels. You can't always write this off as, well, Minneapolis is different. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. And something is going on in that city and something needs to change in leadership to get that city back on track.
Yeah. And you look at, I mean, you look at some of the headlines this morning, and you got Channel 5, and Fox 9, you know, use of force, experts, George Floyd video, like a checklist of things done incorrectly. Police training, you know, expert speaks about this. Somebody died in the process of being arrested, which is never something we have to have. And, you know, Drew, you're right. And I know it is tough. I mean, it's tough to work through these. It's always difficult to talk about these. This is a horrible situation. The individual should not have died. It's clear. Yeah. This could have completely have been avoided, but, you know, at what point is change going to happen? What is that change supposed to be? What does it speak to? Does it speak to the training of law enforcement that this, and this isn't happening like on a, it's not happening like on a monthly basis. It's like over a number of years. Yeah. You know, where is the root cause and problem of all of this right now? And again, there is no clear answer to that.
And Jeff, real quick, before we let you go, we run out of time this segment, I did mention earlier in the show that I would ask you about it, and I don't want to let the opportunity slip by. We talked up in Sam's Top 5 earlier about this petition to recall Tim Walz, and I had mentioned during the story that the bar to recall a governor in this state is very high, and while I've got someone on the phone who knows sort of where that bar is, can you clarify quickly for our audience, what would need to happen for a successful recall effort against Tim Walz?
Sure. Well, I'll just say it's Article 8, Section 6 of the Minnesota Constitution and Chapter 211C of Minnesota Statutes. We're not, long story short, we're not like Wisconsin, where if you get so many signatures on a petition, you can have a recall election. That's just the first step. You have to have it in a certain form. It goes to Secretary of State. But here's the kicker, guys. The Secretary of State then submits it to the Minnesota Supreme Court, and they decide if the standard has been met, if the grounds have been met for a recall, which talks about, you know, serious malfeasance or nonfeasance. Last I checked, you got 5 of the 7 Minnesota Supreme Court justices appointed by either Mark Dayton or Tim Walz. Recall petition is not going anywhere.
Yeah, and even then, even after that, it goes back to an election, right?
Correct.
The Supreme Court decides if a recall election is warranted. So then you still have to go out and convince enough people to show up at the recall election and cast the vote to recall.
Right, right. Which, not that I don't think that this is a worthy effort. I think that the more pressure that gets put on the governor to move his dials faster, you know, I know you're going to talk to another attorney in the next segment. Our firm is talking with some of our bar and restaurant clients about possible federal action if this doesn't change. The churches have telegraphed how you get him to change his mind. You stand up to him. It's a combination of threatened legal action and civil disobedience. And I think that the opening of the candy store in the midst of all of this certainly looks like his decision making has reached an arbitrary and capricious level. And I think that's where you now have grounds to challenge his decision making, not the orders themselves. But I think that there are certainly grounds to, I'm privy to a lot of inside chatter and some of the discussions, particularly with the bars and restaurants and tap rooms. And it doesn't seem like there's really any rational basis being used for determining how the reopen happens with them.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, thank you so much for your time and expertise this morning. Always a pleasure. We'll chat with you again real soon, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Okay, buddy.